Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard while we sing our song. Rub, 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 play and sing along.
Good day to you. You are listening to Alessandra, your host on Growing Good, a peaceful parenting, all natural, all green, hopefully all organic program on Heritage Radio Network. We're broadcasting out of Roberta's restaurant in Bushwick, New York. Today's topic is a little bit different than our usual protocol, but nonetheless very important to families statewide, nationwide, worldwide. Today I'm going to be addressing a very sensitive issue, and that is friends and families of alcoholics. Now, of course, here at our station, we have an amazing program called Beer Sessions, which is renowned and, you know, awesome. But there's a big difference between a casual drinker or, you know, a taster of fine wines with fine meals and meats to the ones of us out there living with an alcoholic. And that's what today's show is addressing. Now, in the true spirit of maintaining anonymous stature, which is a big part of the support groups out there for you, should you choose to reach out for help, if you feel that you are in a situation where you no longer can cope with the alcoholic that your family is surviving with. So in the essence of the anonymous aspect of it, I'm going to be keeping my comments to myself and my opinions and life histories to myself and conducting today's segment much like what you would expect should you choose to take the first step and go to a support group meeting by a wonderful group called Al-Anon, who also has formed a group called Alateen, which is children of parents who are alcoholics. So I'm going to be reading from the big book that Al-Anon provides, and then throughout the segment, giving information out to where exactly you can reach help, the different mediums that Al-Anon provides for families of alcoholics and parents of alcoholics. And in good spirit and nature of things, we'll keep the children out of it for today. But of course, we all know that you know, the cycle continues through our children. It is, many believe it's a genetic disease, but many also believe it's a behavioral disease of growing up in an alcoholic environment. And the cycle sometimes has to stop with the non-alcoholic in the situation. And that's what we're going to be addressing today, because a lot of the weight falls on the non-alcoholic parent to maintain and try to find love and light in the situation for their children. And I believe it's a big responsibility to the non-alcoholic to break the cycle if the alcoholic in your life can't. So let's begin. The introduction here reads, "The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. Few of us come to Al-Anon hoping to change ourselves. More often, we come because everything we have done to solve our problems have failed, and we have run out of ideas. Even those of us who can identify with the problem as active alcoholism probably have no idea what to do about it. We only know that we've tried lots of things that didn't work. We may have poured out liquor, hidden it, hidden money that might pay for it, even taken a few drinks ourselves in order to leave less for the alcoholic or to feel more part of their lives. Most of us have argued, pleaded, bargained, threatened, walked out, come back, given ultimatums, failed to carry them out, or carried them out and felt guilty. We've tried to reason with the drinkers, scheduled their free time, monitored their behavior. We've complained, we've prayed, we've tried to avoid doing anything that might cause the alcoholic to drink. We've searched for opportunities to make the drinker see how destructive their drinking can be. Mostly we've hurt and we've worried. Now is a chance to turn to Al-Anon as a last resort, hoping to find a way to put an end to the drinking once and for all, or to convince a loved one to get help. Those of us who are no longer around active alcoholism can be even more affected. Obviously, we don't have the option of trying to change the alcoholic, so we've changed our circumstances, our jobs, clothes, friendships, locations, religions, practically everything about ourselves, but nothing seems to have a lasting impact on our suffering. So basically, when you go to your first meeting, you are surrendering to the fact that your life has become unmanageable and that you are powerless over the alcoholic. In this great book, How Al-Anon Works for Families, Friends, and Alcoholics, there's lots of chapters that you can read. Struggling with reality, seeing more realistically, the part we play. I'm going to read a little bit from the part we play. Awareness begins by learning about the family disease of alcoholism. Everyone in an alcoholic relationship, friends, co-workers, family members, as well as the alcoholic, play a part in the dynamic of this disease. In order to make any changes in our circumstances, we must try to discover the part we play. In general, alcoholics act, and we who are involved with them react. The active alcoholic gets drunk, behaves irrationally or irresponsibly, and becomes the center of attention. Those around him or her react to the drinking and its consequences in a state of intoxication. Alcoholics aren't worried about the problems their actions are creating. Instead, those around the alcoholics worry for them. We believe we must take on the responsibility for doing for the alcoholics what they seem unable or unwilling to do for themselves. In the beginning, many of us are genuinely concerned and merely want to help a relative or friend who is obviously not well. But as time passes and the situation worsens, we cease to recognize that we have a choice in the matter. In fact, the choices available to some of us in the past were very quite limited. Those who grew up around alcoholism or dealt with abuse may have felt forced to take certain actions on the alcoholic's behalf for the sake of our own safety. Eventually, even when no real danger exists, most of us have come to believe that our help is imperative, whether we want to offer it or not. The alcoholic becomes more and more dependent. After a while, we can't imagine allowing the alcoholic to sleep through another day of work without calling in sick or allowing another bounced check to be ignored. It becomes more desirable to stay home than to risk another public humiliation. And many of us can't stand the tension of waiting for the consequences of drinking to manifest. We feel compelled to intervene. Alcoholics act, and we react. No one can tell the drinker anything. He or she calls all the shots. Alcohol fosters an exaggerated sense of confidence and well-being, prompting the drinker to act like a little god with all the answers. At the same time, the drinker becomes increasingly irrational. In response, we, the non-alcoholics, argue, trying to get him or her to see more realistically. It becomes essential to prove we are right. As time passes, we continue to justify our own positions. Yet in the face of the alcoholic's problems, we begin to doubt ourselves and our perceptions. If the alcoholic has told us that the drinking is our fault because we are so noisy or disobedient, we become compulsively quiet or strive for perfect obedience night and day, regardless of the cost to ourselves. In time, the more confident the alcoholic becomes, the more insecure we become. We begin to agree even when we know that what is being said is wrong. We do whatever is demanded of us to avoid conflict, knowing that we never seem to win any arguments or convince the alcoholic that we are right. We lose the ability to say no. The same pattern holds true when the alcoholics in our lives make promises they can't keep. For example, they promise not to miss another Little League game, business meeting, or dinner date. They swear that next time they won't drink or stay out all night or get violent. Or they promise to exercise willpower. They switch to beer, thinking that beer will have less power over them than hard liquor. Or they throw out all the hard liquor in the house, only to be so driven by the disease that they are compelled to find some form of alcohol and settle for mouthwash or cough syrup. And again, we react. Forgetting about hundreds of broken promises in the past, we believe that the alcoholics can indeed control their drinking. We decide that everything is going to be different now. Everything is going to be better. Denying what our past experience has taught us, we count on these promises with all our hearts. We set ourselves up for almost inevitable disappointment. And then when the alcoholics fail to control alcoholism, a disease which is quite beyond their control, we are devastated, resentful, and enraged. We see ourselves as helpless victims and fail to recognize that we have volunteered for that role by choosing to believe wholeheartedly in what we knew from experience would probably not happen. So those of us who haven't been associated with an alcoholic in many years can continue to react to alcoholic patterns of behavior as well. The low self-esteem that evolved as a result of past failures and episodes of abuse or neglect persists. For the love of attention we never received in the past, we look to people who are unavailable to us. We avoid conflict, but now we do so with our employers, other relatives, or authority figures rather than with the alcoholic. These are some of the many problems that continue when you or family has been affected with an alcoholic. And what's great about Al-Anon is that it's also an active program for families and friends who are with an inactive drinker. That means a drinker who is not active and not an alcoholic. Because, you know, you begin to resent the alcoholic for becoming sober when you're at home left with the broken pieces that the alcoholic has come. And, you know, you begin to resent they're out there helping themselves, being social, making the AA meetings while you're at home taking care of the home. So Al-Anon, you know, just kind of reacts and helps anybody that has been affected by a family member in alcoholism. I'm going to read a little bit from Changing the Part We Play in the Family Disease. The family disease is a definition of alcoholism. While health in one person frequently inspires health in those around him or her, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes the alcoholic simply finds a way to adapt, creating a new system to support the disease. Most of us want the very best for those we love, and the best we can offer may be our refusal to contribute any further to their path of destruction. We cannot make choices for other people, even for those most important to us. We are not gods, and we can't truly know what is best for anyone else, no matter how obvious a particular course of action may seem to us at the time. In Al-Anon, you will also be learning more about alcoholism, breaking your isolation, sponsorship, sharing, keeping in touch. And what's most important, I think, for us parents who are so overwhelmed with our parenting schedules, you know, making school pickups and drop-offs, play dates, grocery shopping, we barely have enough time to do something as organic and beautiful as celebrating our anniversaries with our loved ones. So something that they also provide great comfort in is literature. Sometimes we need to connect with Al-Anon at an inconvenient moment, such as the middle of the night. We may be reluctant to awaken an Al-Anon friend over a minor matter. Even though our need for contact is real between meetings and when other people are not available, Al-Anon literature can offer us the comfort of knowing what our problems are not unique and that we are not alone. And here is a list of Al-Anon books that may be helpful. Allie Teen, Hope for Children of Alcoholics, The Dilemma of the Alcoholic Marriage, The Al-Anon Family Group's Classic Addiction, One Day at a Time in Al-Anon. Lewis Remembers is another great book. Excuse me. Allie Teen, A Day at a Time, As We Understood. Another book is In All Our Affairs, Making Crisis Work for You. Courage to Change, One Day at a Time in Al-Anon 2, From Survival to Recovery, Growing Up in an Alcoholic Home. Courage to Be Me, Living with Alcoholism. Path to Recovery, Al-Anon Steps, Traditions, and Concepts. Living Today with Alateen. Hope for Today. Opening Our Hearts, Transforming Our Losses. All of these books are very helpful if you feel that you cannot make meetings. I know in my schedule, it's, you know, I can barely fit time to take a bath or shave my legs sometimes, and the literature can be very comforting. Another great service that Al-Anon provides is called the Lone Member Service, and it reads here, "We are a worldwide fellowship. Al-Anon meetings can be found in some of the most remote places on Earth. There are, however, quite a few locations in which no Al-Anon group exists at this time. Even where meetings are available, some of our members may be unable to attend as a result of illness, disability, or other lifestyle restrictions. Breaking alcoholism's isolating impact is no less crucial for those who do not have access to meetings than for the rest of us. To serve the needs of these people, Al-Anon has created the Lone Member Service, which puts them in touch with other Al-Anon members. There may be other lone members, but more often there are members who regularly attend Al-Anon meetings and are eager to correspond by mail, email. They also have Al-Anon chat groups now online that you can be a part of from your very own home. And they all discuss what they've learned and experienced in the program. And anyone who's interested should contact the Lone Member Service at the World Service Office. So we are going to be breaking for a song now. I know it's a little bit inappropriate, but this is a radio station and we do play songs. And when we come back, I'm going to be reading you step one of Al-Anon, as well as some other chapters that I love. We'll see you in a minute. What's his name, dude?
Cowboys ain't easy to love, they're harder to hold. They'd rather give you a song than diamonds or gold. Lone Star belt buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. If you don't understand him and he don't die young, he'll probably just ride away. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them home. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They never stay home, they're always alone, even with someone they like smoky old pool rooms and clear mountain mornings. Little warm puppies and children and girls of the night. Them that don't know him won't like him, and them that do sometimes won't know how to take him. He ain't wrong, he's just different, but his pride won't let him do things to make you think he's right.
Welcome back to Growing Good. We are dealing with a very grim but hopeful topic today, and that is friends and families of alcoholics. I am reading from the Al-Anon Big Book in hopes to reach families out there that feel that they are ready to take the step to end the cycle in their life, regain power over their happiness, and hopefully break the cycle for their children. If you are living or, you know, involved with an alcoholic, I'm going to read right now from a great passage that I think is, you know, so important, and it's called Changing Our Focus. What we don't do as the non-alcoholic in a relationship with an alcoholic is spend a lot of time talking about ourselves. We spend a lot of time talking about the alcoholic. We learn to put the focus on themselves. But in Al-Anon, they will teach you to learn to put the focus on ourselves. At first, this approach may not seem to make much sense. After all, it is often much easier to recognize the alcoholic's problems than our own. Most of us feel certain that if only he or she would stop drinking or work a better program of recovering or change in this attitude or that behavior, everything would be fine. What we fail to realize or accept is that alcoholism is a disease. An uncontrollable desire to drink is only one symptom of that disease. So many of us have longed for the day when the alcoholic in our lives would find sobriety, only to be dismayed when sobriety ushered in a whole new set of difficulties. Taking care of one symptom, even the major symptom, does not cure the whole disease. Many alcoholics are fortunate enough to find sobriety, and through programs such as Alcoholics Anonymous, are able to make a long-term commitment to recovery. There is great hope for those who are able to choose this path, but sobriety does not put an end to alcoholism. Although it can be arrested, alcoholism has no known cure. Be surely, we argue, sobriety is desirable and there must be something we can do to help. There has to be something we can say that will make a difference, or some sort of help or support or information we can provide that will convince our alcoholic loved ones to get the help they need or make sure they continue on the path to recovery. Again, as the American Medical Association will attest, alcoholism is a disease. Would the right words stop the spread of cancer or make chemotherapy more effective? Would our help, good looks, higher income, or cleaner house overcome the progression of Alzheimer's disease? No. Our compassion and support might make a loved one's struggle with illness easier to bear, but it is simply not within our power to cure someone else's disease. We are powerless over another's alcoholism. We didn't cause the disease, we can't control it, and we can't cure it. And that is one of the big Al-Anon slogans. The three C's. We didn't cause the disease, we can't control it, and we can't cure it. So if we can't stop the drinking or guarantee sobriety, why should we come to Al-Anon? As Al-Anon's first public service announcement used to say, you can see what the drinking is doing to the alcoholic, but can you see what it's doing to you? And they will teach you to learn about alcoholism, learn to live with sobriety, and seek solutions for yourselves. Clearly, a loved one's sobriety does not solve all our problems, nor does physical separation or even death. Even those of us who have not been involved with any alcoholics for many years find that we continue to be affected by this family disease. In short, the effects of alcoholism, obsession, anxiety, anger, denial, low self-esteem, and feelings of guilt tend to persist until we seek recovery for ourselves from being around this disease. The drama of other people's problems can be very distracting, especially when those people are alcoholics. But in Al-Anon, we discover that the problem does not lie solely within another person. The problem is also within us. The behavior of an alcoholic friend, spouse, child, sibling, employer, or parent may have led us to Al-Anon, but we soon realize that our own thinking has become distorted. Al-Anon helps us to stop wasting time trying to change the things over which we have no control and to put our efforts to work where we do have some power over our own lives and within ourselves. So to end this topic today, I'm just going to read step one. Of course, it is renownedly known that there are 12 steps in AA, but there are also 12 steps in Al-Anon. And this is the work. So I'm going to read to you step one. And I hope that this segment has helped or inspired anybody to seek help and know that you're not alone and that you can break the cycle for your children. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Each of our lives have been devastated by someone else's drinking. We cannot change that fact. We have been profoundly affected by the disease of alcoholism. It affects continue to permeate our lives. Nor can we change the behavior or the attitudes of those around us. We can't even put a stop to the drinking. We are powerless over alcohol. As long as we persist in the delusion that we can control or cure alcoholism, its symptoms, or its effects, we continue to fight a battle that we cannot win. Our self-esteem suffers, our relationships suffer, and our ability to enjoy life suffers. All of our energy is wasted on a hopeless endeavor until there is nothing left over for attending to our own needs. Our lives have become unmanageable. Whether or not we live with active drinking, life is unmanageable whenever we lose perspective about what is and is not our responsibility. We take offense at actions that have nothing to do with us, or we intervene where it is inappropriate and neglect our legitimate obligations to ourselves and others. Our misplaced concern for others become intrusive, meddling, resented, and doomed to failure. Instead of helping those we care about, we demonstrate a lack of respect for them and create discord in our relationships. When our preoccupation with others distracts us from our responsibilities to attend to our own physical, emotional, and spiritual health, we suffer. Our health and self-esteem decline. We become incapable of accepting reality, coping with change, or finding happiness. Our lives fly out of control. With this first step, we admit that we did not cause, cannot control, and cannot cure the alcoholic, the disease of alcoholism, or the fact that we have been affected by this disease. We are powerless over alcohol and its effects on us. By ourselves, we can do nothing to overcome the effects of this disease. In fact, our attempts to exert power over alcohol have made our lives unmanageable. Taking the first step allows a great weight to fall from our shoulders. We let go of the losing battle we have been waging. We recognize that there is no point in continuing the fight. We surrender completely. This is no small achievement. The battle against alcoholism has become the basis for many of our relationships. Putting an end to this battle requires completely redefining what we believe about ourselves, others, and our relationships. For example, many of us have confused love with interference. We don't know how to show affection or support without giving advice, seeking to sway another's decisions, or trying to get those we love to do what we think will bring them happiness. We confuse caring with controlling because we don't know how to allow others the dignity of being themselves. Those of us who learned to control whatever we could in order to survive an alcoholic environment now continue to try to control everything and everybody without realizing what we are doing. From past experience, we are terrified to let others do as they wish, but we only harm ourselves and others when we insist upon approaching every interaction in this way. Our relationships are damaged and our lives become even more unmanageable. Thus, even when there are no alcoholics directly involved, the effects of alcoholism continue to dominate. So we take the first step. We admit we are powerless over alcohol and that our lives have become unmanageable. Al-Anon does not promise that every alcoholic will get sober or that sobriety will solve our problems or fix our relationships. We may never have the family of our dreams or win the love of those who have no love to give. But our program does offer us hope because it is all about change by being honest and admitting that the power we try to wield over alcoholism was never readily available to us. We let go of the illusion that kept us imprisoned in an endless cycle of repetitious, self-defeating behavior and inevitable disappointment. It's as if we are lost in a desert. Not far away is a fresh water stream. But until now, we have failed to notice it because we have been chasing a mirage, an imaginary oasis that recedes whenever we approach. Only when we finally stop, take stock of what our efforts have produced, and admit that we have been pursuing an illusion, can we turn in a direction that will actually meet our needs. Likewise, when we let go of the illusion of power over alcohol and over other people, we move into a more positive, productive, and rewarding direction. We move toward hope. That's step one. Of course, there's so much more to learn. Big steps are detachment, which move into love, and then forgiveness, which obviously is very hard. But you can find out more about how to get involved in Al-Anon at 1-888-4-Al-Anon. And again, this is Alessandra of Growing Good, and I hope you all lots of laughter and love and happiness and self-forgiveness, and, you know, give yourself a pat on the back. You're doing a great job. We'll see you next week, and this is one of my favorite songs here.
Long afloat on shipless oceans, I did all my best to smile, till your singing eyes and fingers drew me loving to you. say, sail to me, let me enfold you. Here I am, waiting to hold you.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Boat is leaning, broken love lorn on your rocks. For you say, touch me not. Touch me not, come back tomorrow. Oh my heart, shies from the sorrow.